May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was away participating in board meetings and seminary commencement for the Virginia Theological Seminary and General Theological Seminary when a colleague shared a quote about seminary, and here it is. Going to seminary is, I think, a lot like going to culinary school. You learn the basic foundations, some cool party tricks, and by the end, you can prepare a gourmet meal. Pastoring, however, is waking up every day in a new episode of Chopped, where the ingredients are completely random and you're expected to do something with whatever you're handed while everyone watches and provides running commentary, and occasionally something explodes, right? This can be said of many helping professions, I think. But it made me chuckle, and I saw it making the rounds again this week, and it's true. This week at seminary at Trinity proves a rule. There was so much going on, and we were creating meals of hope and witness and sacraments with different ingredients and curveballs being thrown. And I'd like to say that nothing did explode. Nothing was set on fire, except on fire of the spirit, yes, but no gas stoves or pots or meals. I'd like to say that in the gospel today, the Pharisees and the Herodians were watching Jesus do his thing and healing, and they were providing running commentary. They wanted to know if he was going to break a rule that was intended to help people. You know, observing the Sabbath is a rule that's intended to help all of God's people. God is so smart that God knew that we would need to be reminded that we needed rest and that we needed help and that we needed to sit down and listen, sit down and take things in, sit down and wait, sit down and rest. So this rule from God about Sabbath time, about rest and renewal, was being held up in order to, I don't know if I want to say trick Jesus, but the law was, or the rule or the observance that was supposed to help people was being used as a measure to try to control Jesus and control outliers, as it were, control people bringing joy outside the bounds of what was safe and approved. And Jesus's pastoring, instead of something exploding while everyone was watching and provided running commentary, people were healed. People were healed. But the rule that was meant to help us was getting in the way of that. And so what I mean by that is Jesus healed on the Sabbath when he was supposed to rest. And when he healed, I think he was teaching the Pharisees and the Herodians who were plotting against him that when rules keep us from helping people, when rules keep us from reaching out to people, when rules become a way that keep us from each other and from healing and from health and from love and from grace, then the rules need to be broken. Jesus healed the man with a withered hand on the Sabbath and gave cause to the folks around him that wanted to maintain the status quo to go off and plot against him. And it reminds me of that phrase that many of you might also know, no good deed goes unpunished. When people, instead of rejoicing in joy and grace with something good, see something to criticize, to complain about. Jesus, in the gospel, by his actions, teach us not to listen to the voices that would keep us one from another, but to go on and do what we know is the loving, liberating, life-giving action in our lives. For as the epistle says, we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Christ Jesus. And even though we are afflicted in every way, we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, yet we will not be driven into permanent despair. You may be persecuted, but you are not forsaken. You may be struck down, but you are not destroyed. And in hard times, personal, social, political, health, financial, whatever those hard times are, we must remember that we proclaim Christ and a Christ that does not want us to be crushed or in despair, that does not forsake us and does not destroy us, but promises us ultimate healing, ultimate mercy, ultimate love. So we need to look for signs of that hope and that love and that connection everywhere. So most of you know today is the first day of Gay Pride Month. And I have this beautiful handmade rainbow stole that was made, when I was a missionary in El Salvador. And it's kind of a funny story. I talked about how God was so smart, is so smart for Sabbath and other things. But I want to tell you a story of a naive, maybe a little dumb missionary, me. I was in El Salvador and a group delegation came to celebrate with the priests in El Salvador. And they made these beautiful stoles. Of course, the rainbow is a sign of the covenant between God and God's people, that God will never destroy us, no matter how badly we act, correct? And it has been used as a beautiful symbol of God's connection with all his beloveds that he has created, that God has created in his image, including all the LGBTQIA community. And I believe this way back when. And our bishop in El Salvador had just written a pastoral letter that he was going to wanting our churches in El Salvador to be open and affirming churches. And so I just thought everybody that came to El Salvador believed the same thing. So here comes this church with these beautiful rainbow souls. And for 26 years, I thought it meant that they believed in the full humanity of all people and our gay siblings. Well, it wasn't until our Bishop Andy Doyle's last visit, when we were talking about something, so I showed him the stole, and he said, "De Colores, that's a wonderful Cursillo stole." And I said, "What? That's my gay pride stole." He's like, "Okay, I think that's a stole for Cursillo. Who gave you that?" And I said, "Well, some people that came down to El Salvador." And this was like a few months ago, y'all. For 26 years, I thought that these people from this very conservative diocese in the Episcopal Church had a breakthrough and a revelation. And it wasn't until last week when I realized I had just been wrong this whole time. And it didn't matter. I found hope to overcome despair. I have found connection in this symbol that is biblical. And I was a little dumb, right? Just asserting that, but it was also a naivete that came from love. We walk in a world that can be hard on each other, that is hard on each other. And yet we are called to be bridge builders. As L.R. Noss wrote, here's to the bridge builders, the hand holders, the light bringers, those extraordinary souls wrapped in ordinary lives who quietly weave threads of humanity into an inhumane world. I'm looking at all of you. I see you every day weaving threads of humanity into an inhumane world. They go on. These are the unsung heroes in a world at war with itself. They are the whisperers of hope that peace is possible. Look for them in this present darkness. Light your candles with their flame, and then go. Build bridges, hold hands, bring light to a dark and desperate world. Be the hero you are looking for. Peace is possible, and it begins with us. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Christ Jesus. When there is affliction, we do not get crushed. When there is perplexity, we don't remain in despair. We know, even in persecution, that we are not forsaken. And though we may be struck down, yet we are not destroyed. For we are fools for Christ, looking and longing and witnessing for hope, even when it's a David and Goliath struggle. This past week, the group Houston Interfaith for Ceasefire sat here and gave a press conference. There were three Christian pastors, white, black, gay. There were two lay women, one Jewish, one Palestinian American. And even though hardly any press came, they were being the unsung heroes telling their stories that were so moving in a world that has a thirst for violence. Jesus did not listen to those who would have him leave things as they were, did not listen to the person who, the pressure, who did not want the man to be healed. I want to say this that I saw in some materials from a group I didn't even know about, Affirming Baptists. And they say that this month of Pride is important because someone tonight still believes that they're better off dead than being gay. That is not true. God does not want the world to believe that, does not want any beloved to believe that, does not want this world to profess that in any way, shape, or form. And so he shows us how to break rules that keep us from loving, to cross boundaries that would divide us, to be compassionate when the voices around us want us to conform to the current reality. I was rereading recently some blessings, and I had saved this blessing from the Brazilian Book of Common Prayer that someone translated into English. And it's a Trinitarian blessing. And I leave you with this. We believe in God. We believe in the force of poor people, in the audacity of poets, in the boldness of prophets, in the inspiration of artists. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the humility to serve, in the courage to change, in the joy of celebration, in the respect of differences, in bread for every table, in comfort for every sadness. We believe in the Spirit. We believe and hope to begin again, in the beauty of solidarity, in justice for every oppression, in compassion in the face of pain, in love, the human divine gift. Amen.